Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. It's Frenchie here with you hosting for, I don't know, a rare time. I don't know how many times I've done this, just me in the lead. But we have everyone's favorite guest host back. Cody, how are you, man?
I'm good. I don't know if favorite's the right word to use, but we'll go with that.
Hey, we got some positive reviews. People, I think, were upset at how mean host sometimes is to you because they just feel like you're the butt of his jokes when he can't figure out who else to blame for something. It's like a Charlie Brown type thing. You feel bad for that person if they don't know.
It's just, it's one-ended. They don't see the text going flying back at him every single time.
Yeah, exactly. You have this like innocent vibe out there to the world for those who don't know you. This poor guy who just gets made fun of and just takes it, even though he's a friend
until
of the podcast.
They actually meet me and they're like, Jesus, man, go away.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a couple of non-racing questions. I did these also on the Pit Pass NASCAR side with McCoy, and I just feel like it's appropriate because he gave some interesting responses, and I like these questions. So the first one is, what would be the worst buy one, get one free sale of all time?
I'm going to keep it PG because I had an answer. God, I don't know. What was McCoy's answer?
He said injuries. He explained a story that you have to go listen to on the NASCAR side if you guys are interested. But yeah, he basically had one injury and then re-injured himself while he was already feeling bad. So he took it to a different kind of meaning or place. But
I got nothing. Yeah, I got nothing.
I stumped
on top
you
of
with
my
the
head.
first one. The first
yeah,
non-racing
I, I'm not.
question.
I'm not good with this. Apparently, that's
Okay.
not. This isn't me.
The others will be easier. Trust me. Okay. These other two that I asked are easier. So the second one is, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done? What would be their guess if they heard, yeah, you got arrested, but they had no idea what actually happened?
Oh, it'd be some Florida man related because the heat, and it definitely would be somewhere. If it's 110 and I'm outside, it'd be Florida man related.
So that could be a lot of different things.
It could be a lot of different things, but they would just go, oh, it's hot out.
So they just give you like a temporary insanity kind of excuse for that.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm picturing you like basically wrestling an alligator in the street.
With only my underwear on. Yep.
That's not what I was picturing, but
that's what you're picturing now.
Now
Yeah.
Everyone else will be picturing it. Yeah. All right. So enjoy that image, everybody. And for those of you who don't know what Cody looks like, you can just imagine.
Caveman, as host called me last week. Yeah.
Is that what he said? I don't even remember that.
Yes, he did say that. I'm like, there it goes again. Yep.
I feel like you've said that about yourself before, though.
I try not to because I tried to let it die and it just never died.
Okay. Is it because of the beard when you grew the beard out really long for a while?
The beard, and it was just recent. I literally cut it last night. It was down to here, and then my hair is getting longer again.
That beard was pretty long for a while. That was not like Duck Dynasty level beard, but it was getting pretty grown out.
Before my current job, I had it that long. Like, it was down to the middle of my chest long. And then I try to keep it at least a little bit tamer now that I'm working and people actually care what I look like.
Yeah, I don't know how people would feel if they saw you like walking up to their house with like just a completely unkempt beard.
I had to do clean shaven for a couple years, so they finally changed it. So,
really?
Yeah, that was an ugly sight. I could have a mustache, but I couldn't have a full beard. Yeah, wife hated that one.
The mustache? You like needed something?
And I was just like, I'm just going to start growing it out. And after about a week, she goes, why do you have a mustache? And I'm like, I'm just going to let it go. And it was just big and bushy. And I'm like, this somehow looks better than a full beard. Okay.
All right. I think I've almost been inspired to grow something now and then, but then it happens for 2 days. And I'm like, this doesn't feel good. I hate the way this feels.
You got to get
never
to that
gotten past that
week
many
and a
days.
half, and then you'll be good.
Okay. We can just make fun of hosts for not being able to grow a beard. He says he can't.
I believe him.
It also is helpful. He doesn't have to shave in the morning, really. He just
I was
wakes
say,
up and
you
he's
think
good.
with how old he is, he'd be able to grow a beard by now.
I think at this point, it's too late. Like, he's just not hitting puberty. Just kidding.
That's going to get cut.
We'll see if he listens. No, I'm not cutting that. There's no curse words in there. Okay, so the last one is, what is the, and this could be related to maybe me or host, what's the weirdest thing a guest has done at your house? I feel like we didn't do anything weird, but we have been guests in your house before. Like you
There
host a
has to
lot
be
of
a.
people, so there's definitely a weird guest
Oh, it's
moment.
definitely the cheese.
Oh,
It was
I think I've heard
definitely.
that.
We snuck an American piece of cheese on Colin's head, friend of the podcast. And then he finally found it and tossed it. And it hit Stig, another friend of the podcast, straight in the face. And I'm not going to repeat what he said, but that was definitely one of the weirder moments. I can tell you after we get done what he said.
Okay. But the thought was just let's what drop. He was sitting down, and you just dropped it on his head so he wouldn't feel it.
Yeah, so he was wearing a hat. So we have the picture of it
Okay.
with it on his hat, and it has his brother and Stig, two thumbs up, just the biggest smile you've ever seen on a person, with Colin completely oblivious.
Yeah, who doesn't want to wear a slice of American cheese on their head? That's everyone's dream. At least it won't smell.
Yeah.
Even if that melted, nothing would happen.
No, but that was the first with everybody at my house. We had 20 people. That was ridiculous.
I think I've heard many stories, I think, from those gatherings.
Yeah, it's the class reunions are always fun and ridiculous.
Okay, those are pretty good. You have something for me now?
Yeah, I have the what was it? What did I came up with the term since we aren't using the actual term for the World Open Wheel Championship rather than
Oh,
saying the
yeah.
two
Yeah.
letters or the letter and the number. Okay,
Okay.
so how many wins did Verstappen have the last time they raced at China? So they raced at 2019. And then there's a
Wow.
second half is how many wins does he have from Baku 2019 on?
Okay, I'm trying to think of when he got his first few wins because he really started racking them up after that first time at China. This is a good one. He won the first time was at in Spain 2016. Then he won a couple races in 2017. I don't remember which they were, so that's two more, so that's three. He won at least two races in 2018 also. I don't remember which ones they were either. I think Mexico was one of them for some reason. So that's five. And then 2019, did he win anything before China? I don't remember when China would have been in the championship.
Same, I'll give you it's same time as about now.
So
Five races have
early.
happened. Yeah.
So then he would have had five or six wins, five
I hate you
before.
so much. It's five.
Okay,
I
but
hate
then there's
that.
no way I know after that.
So after that, from Baku on, which is now it's one more win than what I have here because I didn't include this last race to China.
I don't even remember what he currently has. It's 50 something. He beat Prost because Prost had, was it 51? Do you know how many Prost had in his career?
No, I would never know that. You're the one with the ridiculous mind for F1.
So he's in the 50s. I'm gonna guess that he's had 50 wins since then because let's say he has 55 now or something. Is that right?
He's had 53, including the
53 wins
last race
since
at
then. Oh,
since.
so I missed three of them. Damn
Yeah.
it. Okay, so
Yeah,
he's 58 total.
yes, 58 total. And he's had 52 since Baku 2019. I saw a graphic, and this was since the Chinese Grand Prix 2019. I even saved it to my phone. Max Verstappen has now won 53 times. The rest of the grid has won 53 times.
And how many of those do you think were Lewis?
Lewis was all of 2020, pretty much, except for a couple races,
The best
half of
one.
2021. And then, but 22, 23, and so far through 24, it's been like, did George get a win?
Yeah,
And then
Brazil in
Carlos got
20
two.
something. Yeah.
And
Well, no, he's
then,
had three now.
no, Australia.
So before that, didn't he win in Britain? It was his
He
first
won in
race, and
Britain and
then
he
he
won
won
in
in Singapore.
Singapore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Britain was 2 years ago. It
Yes.
wasn't last season. The only person last season to win was Carlos
Right.
in Singapore. But yeah, that's 50. That has to be the most dominant, what, 4 years basically.
Yeah,
Five.
I'm looking at the win records right now. I'm trying to see. So, yeah, he's third all time already because Sebastian Vettel was 53 wins. He had two more than Prost. So you said he's won literally a Sebastian Vettel's career since 2019. Like all of those wins. That's insane. So he's got a long way to go, though, until he catches Michael Schumacher, who's got 91.
Schumacher and Lewis, but like if
Actually,
Red
almost
Bull's,
two more seasons. Yeah, like by
yeah,
2026, he'll probably be there.
he'll be close if he's not already there.
Yeah. Oh, my
As long
God.
as his brakes don't catch on fire.
Yeah. Which I hope they do. Just for entertainment's sake. It's not, I don't even really have anything against Verstappen at this point, but I just for something to actually watch. Okay, let's get to IndyCar because that's why we're really here.
Perfect.
And I thought Long Beach was a pretty good race, but I'm going to start with this because I think we should talk about it. And that is the fact that I sent this in the group chat earlier. The viewership numbers for Long Beach were pretty much abysmal, I thought. What did it have? It had
0.3.
307,000 viewers, and that's for TV only. So, like for me, I don't watch on TV. I watch YouTube TV, which I don't know how that counts. That's streaming separately, or.
I don't know what YouTube TV counts as, because it's like it's
This is
technically
mixed hybrid.
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
Like,
sure.
so I am watching, yeah, like the NBC broadcast, not Peacock. So maybe I was counted in the TV numbers. Okay. Who knows? And last year it was on NBC, but that number, 1.026 million people watched that last year. Okay, I get that it wasn't on NBC, but that drop off is can't be explained totally by just the channel change.
No, I don't, and apparently, because they canned NBCSN because it wasn't in as many households as USA is. But then I could understand if it went from 1.2 to 600, 700,000. That's enough. You can deal with that. But to lose 800,000 somehow, and I don't know, maybe has the areas, because sometimes they'll tweet out like
Oh, no, I
the
didn't see that
highest,
yet.
yeah, it may come tomorrow probably, because I'm pretty sure it was, yeah, it was like a nice day in Indy too, like we had the doors open most of the day, and knowing if my with my son baseball starting, so sports are starting up again, that could be, but it's 800,000, that's a crazy drop.
Fox got 4.3 million viewers for Talladega. And that race, I watched it. It was all right, but it wasn't. I don't think it was really better necessarily than Long Beach. It was entertaining. There were parts of it, but I don't understand how they got
I don't
so
know.
many more viewers.
It
And
shouldn't be a competition, but IndyCar
yeah.
needs a million a race on every platform they're on. And if they don't get that, it's like, what are we doing? And with how bad Fox has been from what I'm seeing on Twitter, X,
Yeah.
whatever the heck you want to call it, and how good the broadcast has been on IndyCar on the NBC side.
When they're pulling Lee Diffie from it, maybe part of it is because of the low ratings and they want to use him for something else. I don't know. His salary is probably pretty high
Yeah.
with NBC because he's been working there for a long time.
Because was he there Saturday? No, Kevin
Yesterday.
Lee did quali, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. He must have been
Because
doing something else.
Diff was probably doing Supercross.
Right. So that makes sense. But it's not good for IndyCar to be in a negotiation situation soon when you have races like this. And this is supposed to be the, I think Lee said it on the broadcast, like the second biggest race, like the other crown jewel of the season.
Yeah. It just makes my head hurt. It really does. So maybe they got some numbers because they replayed it on ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPN the Ocho, whatever. But I just that's just it's not even IndyCar's fault. It's just people tuning in. I don't know if they
Yeah.
were expecting to turn on NBC and they see golf and they're like, "Well, I'll just watch golf."
Maybe, but you would think that Long Beach has been something that's been going since the mid 70s, that this is something that's relatively established and people would want to check out. But anyway, with that said, let's talk about the actual race because the people listening to this podcast were among those 307,000 that were watching, I imagine.
And if you weren't, you should be.
Yeah, they need you.
Please.
Yeah, we need these numbers up. I don't know what else they could be really doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the first thing we should talk about is Felix Rosenquist getting pole because I said he was going to have a good weekend. And I would say that started looking like he was going to have a good weekend. And then I don't know what happened because, or I do know what happened actually. Apparently he had
Yeah,
some
he was
brake
on.
issues.
He had some brake issues, and then he started on a scrubbed set of
Yes.
greens. Yeah,
Yes.
he still finished ninth, so that's still a good for a Meyer Shank Racing team. His teammate didn't finish above him, and what one, two, all three Andretti's did. He was the fourth out of the Andretti partnership, but I would take a ninth on a weekend.
Oh, yeah, but he is almost like the Charles Leclerc of IndyCar, where he's just racking up these poles. How many does he have now? He got one at Texas last year. He's gotten a bunch of poles and he's got the one win, right? Road America years
So
ago. Yeah. He's got five or six poles, I would think. But this was the first pole ever, I want to say, in IndyCar for Meyer Shank, which is pretty cool.
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Let's see. Unless this hasn't updated, Rosenquist only has one pole.
Nah, no way. He's got
And
more poles
zero.
than
And
that.
he
That's
says
got to
he
be
has
this
zero
season.
race wins. The IndyCar app, man.
Six poles is what it says on Wikipedia.
Oh, hold on. That was 2024 season. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, he just has one win.
Yeah.
Six poles, seven podiums. Yeah.
Yeah. So his first win and only so far was in 2020. That's rough. I don't
Yeah.
know. I think he's better than that.
I think he's better than that too, but he's also with Meyer Shank, who is still getting their footing, I would say.
Yeah, but this I think suggests that they're on the right path. He looked good in St. Pete, and then to follow it up here, maybe it's only a street course thing. We'll find out this weekend at Barber, but it's positive momentum because I remember when they had Elio and Simon, and I feel like they just weren't getting the results then. And that wasn't to do with the drivers because we know what those two guys could do.
Yeah. Elio, he was good on ovals, but the road courses he was definitely struggling. I think they just have one lap pace and they need to figure out how to get over a stint rather than just one lap, which is fine. If you start up front and you fall eight positions and that's the end of you get a you finish in the top 10 all year long, that's a top 10 points finish at least.
True, but let's move on to the next thing, which is we're going to see Teo Pourchaire for Barber. Unfortunately, David Malukas is still not recovered enough to the point where they're ready to put him back in the car. And I thought Teo did really well for a rookie.
what was it, the biggest climber award? It gained 11 spots in the race and
Yes.
finished just outside the top 10 and 11th. It sucks for David. It definitely does. Hopefully McLaren, once David's completely healthy, and hopefully he is completely healthy. Because you don't just, it was his wrist, and it was it his hand too, or was it just his wrist?
I don't fully know. I don't know. McLaren has come out and said something about how it's more serious than they initially thought.
Yeah.
And
Well,
Gavin
'cause you
Ward
could.
said something about the possibility of parting ways that he didn't know, because the truth is the uncertainty. It's a significant injury with an unclear recovery right now. Can't really say yay or nay. It's frustrating because he had a
Yeah.
lot of momentum, I think, that is now gone. Everyone was excited to see how he was going to do in the six. And yes, PLP is personally invested because we like the guy and he's been really kind to us coming on the show as a guest host and everything like that. So I'm not going to sow any seeds of doubt, basically, of I don't want to talk this negativity into reality, but it's something that has to be considered. And I'm sure he's thinking about it,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I just hope he comes back when he's completely healthy and doesn't, and which I think is what he's doing, which is why Theo and Callum have been in the car, is to try to make sure he is completely ready to go, so he doesn't have, what was it?
Arenas when he
So,
came back too soon and just looked like pretty underwhelming when he
yeah,
had the clavicle injury, I think, from also like mountain biking incident or maybe road biking. I
I
don't
think it was
remember.
road bike. I think they just got to stay off the bikes. I understand.
Yes.
I get it. I get it. It's a great workout. But between, what was it, Fernando got hit by a car
Yes.
and broke his jaw, and
Didn't Lance Stroll too, right? Didn't he hurt himself somehow? How did he hurt himself when he was
I don't
injured?
remember, but I do remember him being hurt and
Yeah.
almost, and Drugovich almost had a race for him.
Right.
At some point, you've just got to be like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'll figure something else. Or wear extra protection when you're going. You look ridiculous, but wear the wrist pads with the metal in them to stop.
Yeah. Or just ride a stationary bike, to be honest. No risk of getting hit by a car or falling in the street that way. So they need to just stick to the gym, probably. It's probably
Yeah,
boring though. That sounds
they won't
like they go to
listen.
the gym
Yeah.
every single day, so they want
Yeah,
to
you
switch
gotta,
it
'cause
up.
that's the big thing, is they want to change it up, and you can only run so far, and you can only do the row machine so many times before you're like, all right, I gotta go do something else.
Get outside. Yeah, so it makes sense. We'll see him back soon, I think. He'll hopefully, at least by the month of May. He's supposed to be getting his pins and all that stuff out soon.
What's up, guys? I wanted to introduce you to the newest sponsor of the show here, and that would be Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to get in on all of the action across all of the sports, including motorsports. Again, Underdog Fantasy and their pick 'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or least favorite driver stats, and you can win up 20 times your money in a single night. So, example, let's say you are really not a Brad Keselowski fan. So the pick is going to be higher or lower than finishing in seventh place. So you're going to click that lower button and off you're running for the day to see if you can win some money. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy to use website and mobile apps. All you need to do, pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em entry. You get everything right, and you're going to take home some serious cold hard cash. Use promo code PPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $500 by Underdog. A little bit more on why I think Underdog is such an awesome website to use. First off, their website is easy to use, and so is their app. There are no waivers, trades, or lineup setting. There's nothing to worry about other than setting a couple guys in your picks. Underdog lets you draft a fantasy team in just a couple minutes. Again, please use promo code PPN for Pit Pass NASCAR, and they'll double your deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. You deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. Join now, and we'll start having a Underdog Fantasy segment in each and every episode going forward after this week.
Let's talk about the race itself because there were some interesting moments. What did you
The
think about? Go
wait,
ahead.
Rossi Pato.
Oh yeah, I guess that would probably be the first one. And then we have the second incident in the hairpin.
The Rossi Pato was in the fountain. Because Pato went in the back of Rossi.
That was funny when they like watched the replay and he's not near anyone. Yeah, that definitely, I'm sure that was awkward because those guys are obviously teammates and extremely competitive. And yeah. Zach Brown was there, as they mentioned, not at the Chinese Grand Prix. So I'm sure he was furious.
I feel like the worst stuff happens when he's around too. Because didn't like all three of them DNF or two of them DNF last year when he was here?
Yeah, maybe he adds too much pressure. He's just standing there, like, making everybody really nervous.
Yeah, and wasn't he at the 500 instead of Monaco? And Pato hit the wall, and Rosenqvist hit the wall, too? Is that right? Yeah, because he was involved with that accident with Kirkwood.
Yes, he was the one that his tire launched, right?
I think it was Kirkwood's tire, but yeah, it was that accident.
Yeah, so yeah, that... Maybe he's cursing his own team.
Maybe he just shouldn't show up and see how it goes.
He could pull a Gene Haas. Yeah, just never show up and see how things go. That's
well,
actually a good idea.
Yeah, because that's working out so well for Haas, Gene never being there.
There's a whole lot to unpack there separately than McLaren, so it's okay.
Yeah, let's...
We don't need to go into that. So that happened. What else was interesting in the race?
I made notes because I knew I was going to be on.
Oh, nice.
The five
We
place,
never do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because last time I was trying to remember, so I made some notes. The five place drop for Lundgaard instead of a drive through in the for contact and pit lane.
That was interesting. I don't remember them doing that ever before.
No, but I think that's a better solution than completely ruining someone's race. Yeah, you have to give up five. Now, I think you have to do a judgment call on how far back you're dropping someone. Because if you do five and you're fifth, but the 10th person is half a lap behind you, you're gonna be screwed.
I like this. It's better than a 5 second penalty for sure, too, because he just lets these cars by and then he's able to keep going. He doesn't have to go down pit lane, just let everyone pass him. And yeah, I do like that better. I hope they start doing this more.
Yeah. I think it'll work. It'll be fine on road course. I think ovals are a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Like difficult. I don't think they'll figure that out. I don't know.
So that would be interesting, but we'll have to see that. What else do you have in your notes then? If you're going to guide this, then if you have more.
I have one more thing in my notes because I meant to listen to the radio broadcast today and I've completely forgot about it. I said, I love Spicy Newgarden. I remember him getting angry, but I don't remember why exactly.
Wasn't it?
I'm assuming it was after the Herta hit.
Yes. Yeah. I think he got extremely upset. So let's talk about what happened there. Colton says he misjudged things. Basically, yeah. he gets into the back of Newgarden, whose car goes into anti-stall, and it just looks like he missed a shift, and they just go by him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was just raging inside the car.
Yeah, I would be too if you have your shot at Scott Dixon, who. Dixon does Dixon things and wins the dang race. Do you penalize Herta there? Because he wasn't trying to bump and he wasn't trying to pull a NASCAR move and bump him and going through the slowest turn in IndyCar. You judge that wrong. Yeah, there's been plenty of years where there's just a stack up of cars and it sucks for Newgarden, but also you still finish what, fourth, third?
Yeah. And I know that's not good enough for him. He's only focused on winning, but I guess it could be avoidable contact penalty if you're really going to make that case, but I don't think it was the same. There wasn't damage to the cars. So I guess that's
it wasn't
big
damage. You didn't knock a gear loose. You didn't.
Right.
Like, yeah, you went into Andy, and you went into Andy stall, but that's also like you got bumped from behind and you probably were about to start shifting up and your rear tires got lifted and it just killed the car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was frustrating because Colton got pretty close in the end, but I think Joseph would have gotten closer and maybe been able to pull a move. I don't know. It would have been interesting to see. I think a lot of times at Long Beach, though, you're going to see contact like this. It's just narrow
especially in
and
that
hard
corner,
to pass.
It's just, you got to be on it. Because I heard it was probably going to try for a move on Joseph there. Well, he was trying to gear up going into turn one to try to get to Dixon. I guess exactly what Newgarden was trying to do to Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dixon to do what he did. It's just one of those performances where you sit there and you watch, stare at the TV and you just start laughing because you're like, this is ridiculous what we are seeing with him.
Yeah, but you knew it was going to happen after a certain point. Anyone who's watched enough IndyCar, right? You see him out in front at, I don't know, whatever the final last few laps, unless there was a yellow.
Even if there was a yellow.
He like probably that still, means, yeah.
He was still going to, as long as he was out front and wasn't like buried in the pack when a yellow came out. And honestly, if a yellow did come out, he'd probably still find out a way to get up there.
Save more fuel that way and then be able to just push harder at the end. Yeah.
Man,
the saving
man,
fuel, but
ridiculous.
Being that fast is what I don't think even most of the other drivers understand.
He's teaching Alex Palou well, which I enjoyed, but
yeah.
Even because I remember Alex, I think it was Dinner with Racers podcast, and he's like, because they have the data, so they're look, he's looking over his, and he's, oh yeah, I'd save this much fuel, and he still went this fast. And then he looked at Dixon's, and Dixon went quicker than him and saved more fuel.
Yeah.
It's like, you, I don't, and especially, he's 43, is that what they said? And I know he has a house in Indy, but he also has a house, he's like splits time between here and England, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think they live in the UK, yeah.
The man can do it all. You look at any athlete outside of Fernando Alonso is
That's
the
what I was
only
going to
other
compare him
athlete.
to.
And I'll even throw basketball LeBron James because LeBron's been in the league for 21 years.
Yeah.
And to do what they do night in, night out, race in, race out, is ridiculous. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, Tony Kanaan could do it on the ovals and do it at Indy. But he can't do it. Same with Elio. Same with any of the guys that towards the end you go, okay, they're a factor here. Dixon's a factor everywhere.
Yeah, it's the level of consistency and the fact that his floor is higher than most drivers' ceiling. His worst day, as you're saying, is consistently a result that most drivers would be happy to get.
Yeah, I Rossi on the off track, I don't remember which race it was. I want to say it was Portland. He goes, I saw Dixon pitting after the lap one incident, and I just followed him in, and I got a top 10 out of it.
So there you go. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
just do what Dixon does.
It says a lot about Mike Hull, too, I think, which.
Yes.
They're just as a pairing, because they've changed engineers on his car a few times, but Mike Hull has been that strategist remaining there. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting. I do not foresee Scott leaving anytime soon. He reminds me of a Fernando where he doesn't get sick of this. Like he never
no.
is going to lose the drive or the passion to put the effort in.
And there's no reason for him to get sick of this. He's still winning. He's still performing at a high level.
Yeah.
Like the man is just a machine.
Honestly, Will Power is also pretty impressive. Similar age and his raw speed. He doesn't
yeah.
tend to have the level of consistency, but his raw speed is up there.
Isn't he have the most poles in IndyCar history? He can't convert all those poles to win, which is just it by Dixon and hasn't had a pole since 2017 that wasn't the 500. And converts, need to look up how many wins he has since 2017, because
I know
sure
which
it's...
I would take of those two choices of like, poles or wins. I would take zero poles and all the wins, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't end up like Leclerc, exactly, where Max Verstappen has more of your... That'd be a fun stat. Someone should look that up. Look up who has the most someone else's poles. I bet it's Dixon wins to someone else's poles. Probably Willpower poles to Dixon wins.
Yeah, how many times has Willpower qualified on the pole and then Dixon has stolen basically that race out from under him? That would be a really irritating stat to know.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. So we have Barber coming out this weekend. I don't think there was any other news IndyCar wise that I could think of.
I'm sure there'll be something coming out major tomorrow or Thursday. So.
Of course, that's always what happens. But I'm going to go over the rest of these Long Beach predictions so we can make fun of me and host and see how we did. And then you are going to sub in for host and make picks. And as I said to McCoy on the NASCAR podcast, you can choose how you want to play things. You can sabotage him. McCoy, I think, chose legitimate picks. But if you feel like sabotaging hosts, just to get that, feel free. But let's make some Barber picks. And then I think we'll get out of here. That's about it for this week. Who is having a good weekend in Alabama?
I don't know. Let's see who's done well here in the past. If the app will tell me any of that, because it probably won't. There it is. Found it. I'm just going to take my boy. I'm going to take Alex Blow.
Okay, that's almost like cheating, but it's not.
That's who's
Because,
going to do good.
no, I know. It's almost the same as picking a Max Verstappen or something, but because you're legitimately a fan of his, you're allowed that pass. I'm trying to think of who's going to have a good weekend. Hasn't Rinus done okay here in the past? For some reason, I always remember him getting a pole. He had a race with Pato one year where they were like racing for the win, I think. And it was a fun battle to watch. Also, his car is blank. It's just green
Yeah,
and white or green and black.
I was wondering because they're in California. I wonder if there was a weird, like, you can't
Oh, like
advertise.
Bitcoin or whatever it is,
Yeah. I'm like,
that's a
I wasn't
good.
sure if.
That is a far more intelligent conclusion than I came to, which was that I was just thinking maybe the money didn't show up, but
Yeah,
you're
I'm like,
probably
that's the
right.
only thing because it still had on Rasmussen's car. I think it still had
The guy care.
the guy,
Oh,
not
you
that
mean
one. There
the
was a
Todd Ault
little
thing?
tag underneath the windscreen on the driver's left and right.
Okay.
But who knows?
He finished third in 2022 at Barber, and he did get the pole then. All right, bad weekend.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that have had good weekends that I really. Let's go. I think Will Power is gonna have a bad weekend.
Okay.
No other reasoning than because sure.
But is he going to qualify on pole and then get the race stolen out from under him?
If that happens, I think that counts as a bad weekend.
I would argue yes. Yes, it does. Okay, I'm going to pick Romain Grosjean. He just seems like somebody who throws away results at this point.
I hopefully it all goes well and the Argentinian fan base doesn't go
Oh,
after
yeah.
him.
That's a different
Hopefully
story.
they, yeah, Grosjean's gonna Grosjean.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get into it with somebody, it'd be interesting because he got into it in St. Pete and at Thermal. So he had at Long Beach where he was relatively peaceful, but he'll be back to his combative, aggressive ways.
Antics, yeah,
Yeah, at
absolutely.
Barber for sure, because he's still trying for that win, which may or may not come.
He had opportunities, and yeah.
Yes, he did. Yes. The Indy Road Course, I think, is still his best opportunity, but we'll get there later in the year.
He
The
had that,
other,
yeah.
which one, what his.
He had the, what race was that? The, was it St. Pete? He was like,
Yeah, where
or
he
was it Long
battled
Beach? He was,
with McLaughlin that they wrecked each
yeah.
other. Yeah, that was St. Pete last year, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, because that was his last year with Andretti.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
But anyway, he can be fast too, like willpower, but I think goes backwards even faster. The other pick that we're going to go with is Oh, did I even finish reviewing all our other picks for Long Beach?
I don't think so.
This is what happens, I think, because anyone who listens to both podcasts is going to find this out. My mind just goes on whatever tangent that I can be guided in any direction, and it's a good thing host has a clear routine, because
Yeah.
otherwise this is what happens. Yeah, he picked Marcus Erickson to have a good weekend, and he definitely did. Finished top five, was solid all weekend. I, as I said before, picked Kyle Kirkwood to do badly, and he was fast, but I don't know. He finished seventh. That's a solid weekend. I can't say that he had a bad weekend. Host picked Will Power to have a bad weekend. He finished sixth. That's not bad. No, so that's not going to work either. Then we had.
Will Power somehow finished sixth, even though his strategy was
Oh, yeah.
whatever. It's ultra fuel save.
Yeah. That was crazy. It's also crazy that Théo Pourchaire, with his 11th place finish, is higher in the standings than six other drivers. Do you
Yeah, my
see?
favorite
Do you...
was the when Elio
Yeah.
won the 500 and it was still double points, so he was like top 10 in points.
Like one race. We had the other interesting pick, which we'll do this one again, but right after I read this out, we had a non-big three cars, how many were going to make the fast six. So I need to go back and remember who else was in the fast six real quick.
Rosenquist, Power, Newgarden, Herta, Eriksson, Palou. So one of the,
Yes, which was
well,
my answer. I win.
what did you guys qualify as the fast six? Penske, Ganassi, McLaren?
Yes, the big three. Yes, correct.
So
No.
three, because Felix, Herta, Eriksson.
Then we both lose because he said two, I said one. So what are our guesses going to be for Barber? How many do we think are getting into the Fast Six from
Of the
the non-big
same,
three?
so the McLaren, Penske, Ganassi, of the non, I'm gonna
As
go
long
in
as you agree
two.
that is the big three.
Yes, let's.
I would think so. I think there's a little bit of a tier separation there. It's like those are tier one teams, and then you have tier two, which is like a
I mean, if you really
Andretti.
just want to call it the big two, you just go Ganassi and Penske and see how many. Because McLaren hasn't won a 500 or a championship. Andretti hasn't won a championship since
Yeah.
2012 in a 500. You can technically include Elios if you wanted to, because that was like a partnership.
Didn't Sato win it for them?
17, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So,
So only 7 years ago, like yesterday.
yeah, a whole different, completely different car ago. Yeah. Wow, aero
No,
kit,
same chassis, yeah.
same chassis, different aero kit. It's a different car.
But we'll go with those as the big three because we're just talking about qualifying here. So
Yeah, I'll go with two. I think two won't get in. Or
two.
two of the non-big three teams will
Okay.
get in. There we go.
Got it. Got it. And so there were three this time. I'm going to say that it's none. I'm just going to go on a limb and say that for some reason at Barber, it's just Ganassi, McLaren, and Penske that dominate the Fast Six. There are
Probably.
enough
I
cars
mean,
there where it could be, right? There's eight cars if you include what?
Dixon, Ganassi has five.
Right. So plus Penske is eight. And then McLaren is
McLaren's 11.
11. So if he really easy to dominate the Fast Six.
I can't wait till May when the top five is all Ganassi cars, the three or the four McLaren cars, and that's your top nine.
Well, you got to throw at least one Ed Carpenter in there, probably.
True. Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. You gotta throw Ed in there. Yeah.
Or Rinus. So it gets tough, right? Like, you don't
Yeah.
know.
May's gonna
But
be
we're.
ridiculous.
All right. I think with that, is there anything else? We had questions to get to. That's the last thing we
Oh.
got to do. We had stuff submitted.
Oh, we're gonna ramble on for another 30 minutes.
What questions did we get? Okay, so we got Jack, friend of the podcast, said Cody Bray's PLPGP career compared to mine would be a solid topic. So again, not a question because he responded on the NASCAR side and said stages are dumb. Again, not a question. It was just a take. Do you have any response to that?
I think we're about the same. Neither of us won, or he may have won a race. I honestly don't remember. I was like Roman
Okay.
Grosjean at PLPGP. Quick,
Okay.
crash happy. A lot of podiums, never a win.
We already covered, I think, host's question about the Malukas injury being a bigger deal than we initially thought. I think we got into that. Your brother asked you which of the Braves has a win in PLP GP.
Yep, that was him. He wrecked Hickey for a win.
Okay. All right. And then Hickey asked, why is host Mike cooler than Cody Bray? I think it's unfair to ask you that question.
I liked host response, though. Did you see that?
What was it?
That's a real low bar to set. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. We have one last question because Mark Van Niekerk just submitted it while we happened to be recording. If we had not been recording for this long, he wouldn't be able to do it. So here you go, Mark. Do you honestly think if Penske and IndyCar spent half of what they presently do in effort and money promoting the Indy 500, the race would suffer, or is it self-sustaining and they would be better off focusing on the full season and championship?
I honestly wonder how much Penske has a say in the Penske group, because a lot of it is NBC promoting, because it's a big event. It's like the Kentucky Derby. It's a singular, massive event. And it's the same with the Olympics, too, where it's all about the Olympics, not about the other track and field. It's not about the other horse races that they cover, because they hold the other two.
Yeah, the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, right?
Sure. So. But I think that's the... And I wonder how much it is IMS. I understand they're the same company, but they're not the same. And I wonder how much IMS puts towards marketing the Indy 500 more than the Grand Prix, or even the Brickyard, which is coming back on the Oval this year, or any other race that's on that track through the year. But they have to do something. They have to promote every race the same. And it has, they have to become major events rather than just, oh, it's another race. And I understand it's hard to do that, but Road America barely even had to promote Road America. I went last year. That's an incredible crowd. And there's just people everywhere to watch that race. Same with Mid-Ohio as a track is awesome, but Mid-Ohio as a facility is, I called it a 1980s Little League park.
It's like a campground. Facility. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that track, did they sell out, or they were close to selling out what they consider capacity for it? They have to promote every race like that. Whether they are doing like the Indy 500, was it Daniel that said it, or was it Mark that said it in the group? You have to promote, as long as the Indy 500 is the crown jewel, nothing else will matter. And yes, it is a crown jewel, but it is one of, I know one of the girls I went to high school with, she is a big IndyCar person. Huge. I see her at the track every year. Her sister is not. Her sister didn't know that the Indy 500 was one stand. She thought that was it. There was no other races. She lived in Indianapolis her entire life. She didn't know that there were other races. They don't know. I remember hosts talking about someone going, are you here for the NASCAR Grand Prix or something? When they were in St. Pete for IndyCar.
I get that all the time when I talk to people or about racing, or say that I have this podcast, and I have to ask, do you know what IndyCar is? If I mention NASCAR or you say F1, people just know. So that's the frustrating part. They do need to promote every event, because when you have just this one event that you really put all of the effort and money into, and you've expected over these many years that it's going to bring people into the championship, which was, I think, a solid idea. That's not a dumb assumption, but it hasn't really done it. So now you need to try something new, because that's not working. You can't just keep doing the same thing and hope it's going to work. The Indy 500 is this amazing event, and you can say it as many times as you want, but unless you make every other race, as you just said, as cool as that, which is going to be really hard to do, it's basically like a letdown for people who go to another race, right? Because you just don't get that electricity.
If Indy is a 10 and Indy is a 10, because it's all about, especially I'm here all month. So I go to both
Right.
days of qualifying. I buy a bronze badge. I'm there for Fast Friday and see and walking through the garages, and it's awesome. But there is something about Road America. If Indy's a 10, Road America is a 9.9 repeating, because it is so cool. But I don't know about, I haven't been to enough other races to know if it's, if other races are like that, which I'm assuming they're not. I'm assuming they're not as, some of them are cool. Like I was talking to CD about, because he was just out at Long Beach,
Yes,
and
and
he's
today's his
like,
birthday, so we're going to say happy birthday to him on this podcast as well.
yes. And he was saying he's, it's one of those races where you go to and it's really cool and it's awesome, and there were like no lines for anything in or out, but it was still busy. Like getting in, getting out, getting food, drinks, souvenirs, whatever. But there was still, it just wasn't like, you go to it once and you don't really want to go back. You're like, okay, I did
Okay.
it. But I went to Daytona the 24-hour this year. I would do that every year if my wife would let
Oh,
me.
for sure. Yeah.
That was all 3 in the morning. And I'm sitting on a dock watching cars go into the chicane on Lake Lloyd in the backstretch. And is that anything like, what other races have that for IndyCar where you're just like, this is awesome?
The only one I can remember that was the same way was Baltimore. No, I'm just kidding.
Back to Baltimore we go. All right, I'm down.
But yeah, I think they need to try something else because F1 has really set the bar high for events. I've never been to one as much as I am a fan.
Yeah, I love that there's
So,
3 F1 races in my country, and the closest one to
yeah.
me is Canada. COTA would be fine, but I like Canada. I love the Canada track.
All right, well, we'll make it to the Canadian Grand Prix sometime. But yeah, they need to promote every event and make it like these F1 events because apparently you can't do a race now. Like, Hy-Vee is making, I think, the right choice and the right model. They're pushing it in that direction, and every other track needs to promote that and do that. But it's a lot of money and probably a lot of risk on their part.
They need tobacco money is what they need again.
Yes, something needs to be done. I don't know what it is going to be. The on-track product is still better than anything there is out there.
Outside of MX5 Cup racing,
Yeah.
it's,
IMSA
I
is
mean,
actually
even
pretty good, to be honest. IMSA is
IMSA with
giving it a run for the money.
the new regs is, I watched the highlights of the WEC race, and it's just, this is, and then going to Daytona, and I think I'm going to do Sebring next year.
Yeah, they have NASCAR money behind them. That's how
I know.
IMSA doesn't have to care. So, yeah, it all gets back to the financial side of things. They're going to find a way, but
They have
they're going
to.
to, I think,
There's
have
no
to.
other. They have to find a way. But it's just, man, if you enjoy racing, you should be watching IndyCar.
The hard part that annoys me is, and maybe we'll leave it here because I don't know if there's anything else. We'll see what you think of what I say. But I think part of this is blameless. IndyCar could do the same exact thing and just copy what F1 does. But if F1 does it for some reason, there's this magic touch that people are just going to be all over it. And if IndyCar did the exact same thing, it just doesn't have the same flair. It's an intangible that I don't know how you can actually get to. For people that don't actually care as much, aren't as deeply into racing. And same thing with NASCAR. For some reason, they just have a bigger profile and it's not something that you can market your way out of. I don't know what you can do.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, you're right. What IndyCar has to do the best of their abilities. I remember 2016 or 17, they started doing anime characters of the drivers. I don't even know
Okay,
if
I
you
don't
remember
remember that
this.
really. No.
And it was like they released a video, and I'm like, oh, that they had Sato and Connor and Dixon, and they did 5 or 6 of the drivers. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. This is such a different way of doing it. To not continue, like, because imagine if they did that and then, oh, they do, okay, hey, we're going to do 5 or 6 cars are going to have an anime style car and get sponsors on board, do a throwback night, do
Yeah, I don't.
fun.
Yeah. But it's hard to take risks, I think, when you're competing in a crowded space already for
Yeah.
like limited
I
interest.
also, I do wish the all the NASCAR, IMSA, F1, WEC, all like the guys who run everything would get in a room and figure it out. So there's not Talladega isn't happening at the same time IndyCar is. Like, to do the best of your ability. I understand there's going to be conflicts, but
IMSA and IndyCar work together on stuff like that. They actually get
yeah.
together. Yeah, but you're right. F1, Liberty Media wants, they don't care at all about trying
I
to coordinate with
and
IndyCar.
it sucks because if you raise everybody like the lower levels up, I think it would help everybody across the board. Imagine if NASCAR, IndyCar, F1 were all getting NASCAR probably get more still, but NASCAR gets 6 million viewers. IndyCar and F1 get like 1.5 to 1 million viewers. Like you're raising that, and then you have the crossover with Larson coming to IndyCar, and the F1 guys coming over, and fix the super license thing, which is a whole nother discussion, and have an IndyCar you guys go over, and like Montoya's Le Mans overall went away from a triple crown, so you throw WEC in there and have Le Mans, Daytona, and everyone needs to work together to raise it, and it sucks that it's they're not, because I want to enjoy it just next. Imagine the Trackhouse team having they had Kimi and SVG in the car. Imagine you get Max in. Like there's a gap and not long enough in the schedule. You
That'd be
get Max in
insane.
a cup car.
Yeah,
Like
he'd
I'm
probably
sure
do
he
it.
exactly. Or
He'd race
Ricciardo won a
anything, I
cup
think.
car. Yeah. Or Ricciardo
Oh,
won
he'd
like
definitely
any
do
of
it.
those guys. Or you get Herta in a cup car. Like there's so many guys that want to race cup Xfinity truck, whatever, that want to race on an oval. That come from a road racing background. There's probably guys from road oval that want to come and race a road course. I don't think it'd work out very well for them going from an oval to road course, but yeah. But all right, have we done enough ranting tonight?
Oh yeah, I think we could keep going forever, but at that point,
You want
everyone's just gonna shut it off.
we got a podcast for you. Host doesn't even you could just cut this in half and release the other part next week.
Wow. I think we're gonna
Host doesn't
hire
even
you.
have to
Like,
come
that's a
back
good
next
suggestion.
week.
He's gonna like that. He's gonna like that idea.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and/or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
Okay. With that said, everyone, thank you for listening. And if you stuck with us this long,
Thank
you
you. We're
are the
sorry.
best. Yeah, exactly. So with that, enjoy Barber this weekend. We'll be back probably with a way shorter episode next week.